holistic. This process can function as it should. This process is not fully rushed. That, I mean, you know that you haven't fully addressed all the questions that need to be addressed or considered all the perspectives that need to be considered. I mean, we all know that. It's not somebody's fault. But we do need to take responsibility for the process we're engaged in. And I want to urge you, well, to listen to Leslie.
Obviously, I can be neither as eloquent nor as convincing as my friend Raphael. All I'm asking you to do is, before you leave today, make sure to pass a resolution insisting that whatever bylaws we come up with, no matter which direction we go, that we will, in fact, readdress this in a convention of elected people and listeners in a year or thereabouts after the new board is seated, so that those who are elected to the office can be part of this bylaws process also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have...
Thank you.
Are we done? No, I'm sorry. We forgot KPFA. It's 2 o'clock. How could I have forgotten? It's 2 o'clock. So again, this has been extremely important and valuable information that we're getting. But again, I ask that the presenters try and keep their remarks very short.
Leslie, I just want to say thank you to the board trying to help move the network forward in a process of healing and unifying. And I just want to say thank you to Dan Coughlin for his incredible support to KPFK. And I have to commend the Bylaws Production Committee of KPFK. There was a lot of conflict about this Bylaws program. Nobody could have done more for unity in the KPFK listener group than the Bylaws Production team. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Leslie.
Yeah.
Leslie, do you want me to begin?
Sorry. I'm sorry, yes.
I thought maybe I needed
an introduction. This is Jim Bennett, interim general manager, long-term interim general manager at KPFA, and we thank you again, Jim, for all the incredible work, not only at KPFA, but to the whole network.
I wanted to start off by saying that this is KPFA or KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, WBAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, and WPFW in Washington, D.C. My life is a radio show, okay? And because of that, we all need to make better radio. Well, actually, that's just one of the reasons. I'm going to concentrate my remarks on programming and some of the things that we've been working on at KPFA. But before I do that, I just wanted to make a comment about the National Program Director position, because I think that I would urge Dan Coughlin and the other people in the national office to work with this board and the stations to take a good look at the job description for National Program Director and possibly revise it. Without going into personnel issues, I think that it is safe to say that Pacifica has never had an effective National Program Director. And I think that one of the reasons for that is when we talk of vision, we have never figured out what we really want that person to do and how they're to help the stations and to integrate national ideas for initiatives of programming into the station's needs to develop programs locally. This is a very important issue, and I think that rather than hire somebody, we need to look at the position first, find out what is really useful for the stations, and then go forward from there. There is a chart in the back of the books that all of you got about the line of responsibility in the national office. I know that this is a proposal of how we go forward with some of the new possibilities of expansion of the national office, but I also recognize that part of this might be because of the interim nature of three of the station managers, but I do not think it's a good idea to add yet another supervisory level to the local stations. I don't think it is good to have the national program director on some level supervise the station managers of three of the stations. I think that the supervision should come from the executive director. And in fact, I think that in some respects, the national program director should fall under the supervision of the stations. They need to work with the stations. They need to help develop programming, and there should be a direct line that includes input from the stations themselves. So I wanted to just throw those out as ideas for future discussion at the board level or on the national level, but we really need to coordinate that a lot better. In terms of KPFA, I did bring with me, and I did hand them out already secretly while you were on break, some handouts from KPFA about how we've been developing over the past few years regarding how decisions are made in our program council. The handouts also explain how programs are evaluated and how new proposals are accepted. Last time I was here, I've lost the stories about that. Last time I was at a national board meeting, I urged you to look at the way KPFA's program council has evolved to include unpaid staff, lab, and community representation. It's very much a work in progress and not without pitfalls or fallacies or things that we need to improve on. There are some historical documents there about programmers' rights and responsibilities as well, and these are things that we all need to do at all the different stations to have one code of behavior, to have one way in which we approach the air that we can all live by. It's a key part. And a key part in our development has been the creation of a schedule of regular evaluation. Hey, where are you going with that microphone? I know all about those things. A key part has been the creation of a schedule of regular evaluation of current programming and a means of having committees participate in the evaluation of that programming and also the participation of the programmers involved. The evaluation is also to include how KPFA can help the programmer or programmers create a better show. In this way, we want to create a situation that the evaluation is actually a beneficial process for everybody. We believe in the past that evaluation was just done as a means of removing programmers or programming. That's completely inappropriate and non-productive. At KPFA, we are in the process of helping current programs that have needed some aid and creating places on our schedule where we can run limited series so that we can really open things up and get to a new model of interactive programming with underserved communities. A good example is a new show produced by a collective called the Middle East Radio Project. With some long-term programs, we're trying to create new specials or town meetings in order to bring their work to new audiences and communities outside of the time that they normally occur. In part of our schedule, we really want to rise to the challenge of creating a new way for radio to have an impact. We want to develop co-hosts and mentoring situations to really grow the future of KPFA and the cultivation of listeners. There's some other things that I wrote about programming. You can read that. I do want to, as I wrap up here, tell you that I know that we were all supposed to include reports on race and nationality work at all of the stations. I'm going to defer that to Steve Conley in the community section on KPFA just in the interest of time and the fact that he came out of the Pacifica Now conference and has been doing work on these issues at KPFA. And I think I would like to pass that to him after Susan DeSilva from our lab speaks.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, this is Susan DeSilva. I'm chair of the KPFA local board. I'm going to give a much abbreviated report. That's why I handed out a written copy of the report, and it's different from what's in the packet, so you may want to take a look at it. First of all, I want to thank this board very much for listening to each other this morning and for giving us the stability that comes from having the decision to move the national office back to Berkeley set. That's very important to all of us, and thank you for listening to each other and to the public on that in that regard. About the station, I'd like to thank Jim Bennett for instituting regular staff meetings, which board members are welcome to come to, and I think communications at KPFA are getting a lot better, and so that's a good thing. I'm just going to point out a few things in my report and make just a few comments. One of the challenges at KPFA is that there's not sufficient management personnel. Even the most dedicated staff can only do so much. They're all wearing so many hats. On the positive side, we do have a good search committee that's partially constituted at this point for a new a permanent general manager, and I hope that that'll help even further. in the stability. They're working on a job description, and so that work's going forward. Since the bylaws are still an outstanding issue, there's some things I want to say. I want to say some things that haven't been said already this weekend. Some points that I think need to be said. And one is that the reason that the KPFA local board believes that we need a strong, we need authority at the local level is so that we can support our station management. Currently, directives come from afar, and it's hard for people who are far away to really understand the local issues. We on the board hope that the next board can really be in a position to help station management. We believe that local control will strengthen the network as a whole. Local perspectives need to be reflected on the national board, and national perspectives need to be reflected locally. I also want to say that the KPFA local advisory board opposes any set-asides on the boards for particular constituencies beyond listeners and staff. And we believe that there are no leaders of constituencies that need representation on the boards who would have any problem getting elected if they chose to do so. Just encourage people to run, and they will get on the boards. I'm quite certain of it. Defining separate constituencies divides us. A better solution for promoting democracy is to trust proportional representation voting, which we have found virtually ensures that every voter gets somebody on the board that they can point to and say, that person represents me. If you don't get your first choice, you get your second or your third choice. And we have found that that really works. Thank you. I'll skip the rest of the stuff on the bylaws. I think we've said a lot, and there'll be more on the bylaws coming up. I was going to say quite a bit about our diversity committee, but you can read it in my report, or if Steve Connolly gets to talk, that'll be great. The personnel and policy committee has also been working hard and looking at grievance policies and other policies at the station. And just finally, I want to remind this board that KPFA, local board, voted that we and all of us should be able to see the Democracy Now! Contract before it's signed. That's something that was passed passed at one of our board meetings. And I think we're moving forward. The new Pacifica is going to be vibrant, productive, democratic, and I think I'm very encouraged this weekend by the tone and by how it's gone. And I thank you very much.
Okay, so let's open up Steve. Yes,
hi, I'm Steve Connolly, and I just wanted to give a little bit of a report regarding the diversity issues at KPFA. I did want to say that the progress of the issues that we started when we came out of the Pacifica Now! Conference, and then in regards to the progress and issues of diversity at KPFK, I think are really significant, and hopefully the illumination will give you an idea of that those kinds of changes. I think most people know that KPFA is an environment that certainly is in need of quite a bit of diversity, as many of our stations are. I think one of the wonderful things that is happening at KPFA is that everybody recognizes that, and everybody recognizes that it's time to create the opportunities and situations for people to be able to come in from a variety of different communities. It represents, in its district, 40% of the people in that area are people of a variety of different ethnic groups, races and colors and groups. To that end, the issues of the diversity committee has become quite a diverse environment. We have a variety of different types of cultures involved in that who are participating. The elections, of course, in regards to the process for the lab boards itself has allowed that body to begin to pull in people of a variety of different cultures and communities, which I think are very important to what KPFA is going to look like in the coming years in terms of that representation. And I think that the opportunities for issues in terms of programming are also beginning to be very reflective of communities of issues. The Muslim communities are producing programs. The Hispanic and Latin communities are producing programs that are beginning to represent that diversity. There's a lot to be done, and the support for that, I think, throughout the system needs to be recognized. And hopefully between what you do and what the rest of us do in terms of formulating plans to recognize those issues, we'll continue to work in there. But I think we have a lot to be proud about how that progress is coming. People are working very much closer together. I can't say that was the way it was when I first walked in there. It was a very difficult environment. But I think that change is very clear, and it is on a path that I think is going to make a very important, significant mark in terms of what Pacifica is going to look like in the very near future.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Ted Friedman. I'm on the KPFA lab. And I just see a wonderful new unity among the five stations and the board. This was a historic meeting. I'm really thrilled by what's happened today. I want to mention once again, remind you all that we have a functioning, dynamic election process at KPFA. It works. And we're offering it as a model to the other stations. Don't be afraid of democracy. It empowers the listeners. It will strengthen the local boards. It will strengthen the stations. I also want to mention that we disagree. Well, at least some of us disagree with the idea of direct election of national board members for two reasons. The local station board people have a better opportunity to know and evaluate national candidates than do listeners in remote stations. And the second is that if the national board members are elected by local boards, then they will become more responsive to the local stations and their listeners. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mary Berg, KPFA listener, programmer, lab member elected, and member of the Program Council, and also a member of Listeners Group Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica since its foundation by two lab members at that time. And I can't actually use the words that were used. I think maybe they wouldn't be good over the air, but I'll tell people after what the resolution was that started that organization. I want to echo very strongly a remarks that our fearless leader, Jim Bennett, said about a national program director. This is not something that has been looked at. It's in the budget. What is the person to do? Well, we do need very much to look at this job description, and very much, in many respects, that person should be serving, should be supervised by the stations. We are not going to go back to national programming with a national studio and a whole national staff. That isn't going to work. It didn't work. We have five stations to do the programming. I want to also talk about the unity model very briefly. The thing that I object to is one person, two votes for everyone who signs up in Category A. Half of the 36-person board, almost 15, have to be from Category A. This promotes a divisiveness that, to me, is very tragic. We, as long as we look at others with, who are different from ourselves as other, there can be no unity. It's a contradiction in terms. We can only come together when we see our commonality. And finally, as to staff being a conflict of interest, for one thing, if the paycheck is the only difference, then why put a paid person and a union rep at that on the board as the representative? But far more importantly than that, anyone who sees their own preferences and their own wishes on any side of the mic, whether they're on this side or that side, anyone who puts this first, if they don't want astrology programming because they don't think it suits, if they don't want health programming because they think we should be talking about politics, those people are they have a conflict of interest with the mission. The mission said to have all the voices and have an inclusion and an education process. And you cannot have education unless you speak about things of which you know nothing or perhaps think little. So having the unpaid staff who do almost all the programming at all the stations, they are the people who have the airtime. The turf wars exist among the listeners, and I am one, and I hear them just as much, as I say, on both sides of the mic. Without the unpaid staff, we would not have had what we have achieved on the program council that Jim talked about. That opened the doors more than anything, and it has promoted unity and made us strong, and it also got us back our network. help working with listeners and staff alike. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Chandra Houtman, and I'd like to congratulate the board, especially the leadership of the board, for enabling the process of democracy and demonstrating how the process of democracy can work through free speech and through allowing dissent, allowing free expression, and then coming up with the right decisions. No, seriously. Seriously, for allowing an educated discussion and then arriving at, you know, an educated decision process. And I would also like to suggest that a very clear cost-saving measure to the board would be to encourage and help the local stations to have committees, form committees, to work to help the board move their processes along as we are doing in KPFA land. And by that, I mean we have a personnel and policy committee, we have a diversity committee, and we are helping to do the work that moves your process forward, and we want to encourage that in other station areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
My name is Willie Ratcliffe, and I'm vice chair of the station board. And we've been working real hard in the last 90 days. And I'm telling you, you ever been in a heated diversity room about racism for 3 months? At each other's throat? But then we finally start realizing you can't go around it. You gotta face it. We've done that. And then it was good to hear white women start stand up and start taking the lead. I mean, I've never seen that in my lifetime, and I'm 70 years old. But we are moving up there. But we're getting help. Right now on the committees, a lot of time we'll have listeners to chair the diversity committee or to chair the policy committee. They also get a vote on the committee. So we're getting the help. But that's involving people. If you want people to help, then you involve them and you respect them. I really want to thank the board today for what I've seen. I've seen you face some real issues. If this Pacifica is going anywhere, we got to work like a family. I would like to see us, when the new board, the quicker we get the new board in there, the better off we're going to be.
That's right.
Because Kate, I see some stations need real help. One of them is Washington, and of course one is Houston. We need to help them so they can reach out and bring in more people. If we're trying to save the world, hey, this is a war and a movement. It is a revolutionary movement against what's happening. I don't see nobody here like what's going on. We got a lot of people out of work, but we're going to spend all our money bombing Iraq. I'd rather see them giving some unemployment and some jobs. So anyway, but I see the spirit coming, and look, KPFA has answered the call every time you got in trouble with money or whatever. We were there, and we'll still be there more once we get a board that's set up. And one of the things I want to talk about just a little is proportional representation on the national board. We're getting tired of seeing the tail wag the dog. Why should the smallest stations have two or three times more board members than the big station, where all the listeners and the money come from? You know, even right now, the largest station got the less board members. That make any sense? No, let's straighten it out and work it where we go somewhere. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Mariah Gillardin. I'm from the KPFA area. I'm a local advisory board member at this point. I have some hard things to say, so I want to thank you first for approving the move to Berkeley. I'm very grateful to you, and I really appreciate it. I'm quite appalled at the level of staff that's planned in the 03 budget for the national office. It's $1 million, including consultants. It's something we have fought for against for years, to have a huge white elephant at the top that stomps on the stations and drains money that's badly needed at the base. It is not needed administratively, and it's not needed programming-wise. The example of Free Speech Radio News, which I totally applaud, is a proof of the opposite, that we can do great programming from the base up. We don't need a national programming director to get that going. I also want to just obliquely reference to the fact that mistakes have been made. And of course, you know, they have been made. We do want you to act, and anybody who acts will make mistakes in the process. And I just want to plead with you some mistakes, for instance, made in the Democracy Now! Contract. I want to plead with you to not settle for false compromises in resolving these mistakes, or not act out of fear, even out of fear for litigation. I believe we can work this out, but we can't compound one mistake by making another one. So please be principled in your resolution of the Democracy Now! Issue. Another more hopeful project is that I really wish to see a programmers convention among the five stations. I believe that many of the administrative problems take time away and cover up what we really ought to be doing. We ought to be sitting in a room like this for 3 days and talk about what to do and why, because the urgency of the issues is so clear to all of you here that I don't need to repeat them. And we can address them in a collegial way by talking to each other. I want to say end with one brief thing on racism. I didn't have time to join you in your efforts, so I apologize for not having attended the meetings. But from my personal experience, I feel there's one issue that is left out of the racism debate that would greatly help us if we were to include it. And that is sort of the painful, extremely painful recognition that we are all living in a settler society. We are a settler society. We are based on genocide. We are not that much different from South Africa. We are not that much different from Israel, and maybe that's why this political support for Israel is, you know, where that is based. This is the country that has invented population transfer on a major scale. This is the country that has invented concentration camps. It is something that needs to be included in the racism debate, even if white folks especially don't want to see it, because we bear an especial large responsibility for you, for this, much as black folks bear a smaller responsibility because we brought you here by force. So you are in that sense not in collusion so much, but ultimately where we stand right now, we are all, whoever we are all participant in this system. And until we invite our Native American sisters and brothers in a really, really honest and open way, we won't resolve the questions of racism. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to thank everybody for, again, their extremely thoughtful presentations. I think we have one more. I don't know. We may lose some of our live broadcasting because it is 2:30 when the announced time of the meeting, when the meeting was going to end. So if we do lose you, glad you were here. If you stay with us, we're glad you're staying with us. Yes, Jane.
My name is Jane Jackson, and I'm a little emotional. I was given these flowers in thanks for my support for Pacifica. And I simply want to say thank you to Leslie, who is just as good as what she did to try to end the war in Vietnam. She's absolutely right in what she's telling us, and I hope we all have the good sense to listen to her. And to Jabari, thank you. Your vote did not prevent the change. Your vote did keep the issue where it needs to be. and I've supported that issue from day one when I asked for a program and facilities audit in New York. I lay home in Berkeley because thanks to KPFA, I had the luxury of doing that and heard a long discussion that a program audit would have given you the information you needed. Enough said. Thank you, sir. I'd like to share with you, because I note that though I indicated that Mumia was with us, he keeps seeming to go down, so he's harder to quite have to look at. And in support of our hosts who understand that there are those of us who are not on the fancy electronics, but we rely on FM radio and the telephone for our information. This was written at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. Dear Mumia, I hope you were listening to a station meeting here in Houston, Texas, last night as I brought a silk screen of Covert Action Quarterly's cover, reframed for travel by a brother of Taj Mahal, who is the very special man and a quiet revolutionary supporting others. It seems almost too much to ask of you, who give me the ability to face each day as it comes. But, journalist Abu Jamal, comrade, you may well be the messenger this board and we, the listeners' supporters, that we need to return Pacifica toward the vision said and set so well by a Quaker whose ideas reminded me of a squeaky voice on shortwave radio telling me about apartheid South Africa as I am living in the belly of Jim Crow's North Carolina, experiencing in the land of the free and the home of the brave the same thing today. A young African descendant girl who had spent the day with me exploring the historic sites of your Philly, also the home of historical significances that seem never to end, she was confronted by the late Whitney Young, also attending the now famous Black Power Conference in the city in the 60s in your city, when she made some rather serious racial assumptions in her description of her day to him. Apparently, he confronted her hate whitey young language with, quote, "I thought Jane was white," to which my new friend replied quite seriously, I'm told, "Oh no, Mr. Young, she's not white, she's nice." As hopefully she did, we too must look out at our assumptions that folks' exteriors mirror their insides. Their exteriors mirror their insides. They too often do not. For such decisions as about how Pacifica will be governed and by whom, there is an understanding fear that breeds dis and mistrust, which must be faced head on so we can get past the point where we are stuck right now to a point where it's the content of our characters that counts, not what's outside that our parents created and with which we are all obliged to live. Mumia Abu-Jamal and all who are not free have an equal right to hear other than the four-party line out of D.C. and sent over, remember, the people's airways, which were not sold, but sold out years ago, and ours must never be. You both know the importance of this precious institution and are, as a journalist, in a position to speak to those presently in authority across Pacifica and this land of ours. We must come together hand in hand, power to the people, not to corporate government. We must confront it up front and directly. With respect, Jane Jackson.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. I came here to be arrested if necessary. I'm serious. This wasn't going beyond today. But I want Leslie to know that I tried to come here with 200
not in our name posters. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Lubin tried to get them for me, and I'm going to quote her on the air. Because if she says it on the air, it's, I guess, fair game. Her comment when being praised for going to Iraq was, at least I don't have to attend the IPND. I hope somebody has recorded this for her so she can see. Well, you know, don't put me in arrest mode again. I don't want to be there. Once was enough. Let's move forward.
Thank
I
you.
Love you all.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. I just, if I might, I just want to make two very, very brief comments that I just think are need to be addressed. One is on the issue of the national staffing. It's my understanding that what happened yesterday in the budget discussion was that we adopted the budgets with an understanding that they will be adjusted and that we will look at the budgets again in December. That in particular, we need to look at much more closely the national staffing issues, that we need to understand what is being proposed, what the job descriptions are, as well as the financial issues. We need to understand the substance of what those jobs are and also look at what the implication of the proposal that we got from the executive director based on discussions with the general managers for 20% central services going down to 18%, you know, over the year, what the actual flow of money might look like. And that's all part of the discussion. So I don't assume, and I hope others don't assume, that it's set in stone at this point what the national staffing is going to be. That is still a discussion that we are engaged in. So I just wanted to make that point clear. The other thing is that I think it was the folks from L.A., somebody from L.A. who asked us to adopt a motion today about a commitment to do a bylaws convention from a year after. I would ask us not to address that today.
Just to clarify.
In the interest of time, in 3 weeks, we are meeting again to discuss bylaws. It would seem to me that would be the appropriate time, given the fact that it's 20-3 now. If we open that up now, I'm concerned. That, you know, I don't know the time or take to have a real discussion about that. So I would not.
If I can just point out that it was not just somebody from L.A. It was the local advisory board and then myself that had that on the agenda. But I understand that it will be addressed at the next meeting. So long as that can be certain, that's great. But we need to make sure that it is on the agenda.
I may have forgotten, but I don't think we took a straw poll on the question of a convention a year from adoption. We took straw polls on Friday after we had discussion on issues, right? And that's, I didn't want to ignore the fact that you had raised it today. I don't think we have the time. That's the dilemma. If we had time to have a discussion, given that there are still a few other some business that we have to do, we have to have a little bit of discussion about where we're going with the race and nationality work.
If we could just get a straw poll, just a showing of hands of those national board members who recognize that there should be in the near future a convention on the bylaws.
Again, I would ask us not to force that issue now. Right, I don't understand what a convention is. For instance, who goes to the convention? You know, I have questions about it. Right, you know,
I
would ask us not to force that issue now, and we're meeting again in 3 weeks. I understand that it may not be possible for as many people to be here, but I would hope that folks involved in Los Angeles in the unity work out of there could figure out a way to send a few people to that meeting.
So the board will ensure that this motion will come before the board at the next meeting.
Yeah, it definitely has been a proposal that's been brought to us. We have to take action on it. I don't want to say we're not going to take action on it. I just would like to not take that action now. I understand the difficulties, but I also understand that a process has been going on for 6 months. Right, and that this is where we are in that process. We can't change that reality. So, thank you. So I would like, again, it's 20-3.
I would like to see if we could have...
Of course, that's
just,
20 to 1 on the West Coast.
It will not be nearly as thorough a conversation as we need to have, but at least a few comments, either from the board people or from other folks here, on where we are in this process on dealing with race and nationality and diversity issues. This is a commitment, a serious commitment, that this board made at our June meeting. Some of it has come up in some of the reports from managers or lab chairs or from the community comment. But I just want to see if there are any other comments from the board and from other people who are here, because this, you know, again, when we're not giving this the full attention it needs today, and we do need to figure out a way to do that.
But Leslie, George. I'm sorry to interrupt you, pardon me. It's George Barnstone. What about the discussion you said we're going to have about a Washington News Bureau?
Well, my understanding is that there is strong support on this staff, on this board, for a Washington News Bureau. We don't have a proposal in front of us.
I gave you one. It's staying right in front
of me. No. We don't have a proposal for the character of that, of the job description. What, is it one person? Is it eight people? Is it, you know, how it would work? I think we need a proposal in order to have a focused discussion. I think there's agreement that we want a Washington News Bureau. And I don't know that there's anybody on this board who's opposed to that. Maybe we need to check for that. Is anybody opposed to that?
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think we can state a sense of the body.
Okay.
We do, as a board, encourage and support there being Pacifica maintaining a Washington News presence. It's very important that we do that, and I don't see any reason not to say so.
Okay.
I'm making a motion if anybody wants to hear it on the board.
Yeah.
I'm making a motion that the board of directors express the sense of this body in support of Pacifica Washington News Bureau.
Okay, and it's a second. Pete sings it. Can we go right to a vote? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm not counting right. Is it 8 or 9?
10 people.
9. So it's unanimous.
If it's not 10, no, people,
that's
vote,
no, that's the number of people in the room. No, a quorum is 5 people.
Oh.
So it's 9 people who are in the room. It's unanimous.
10 people.
Okay. 1.
Count.
Oh, I'm sorry. Games over. Alan Barnstone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Thank you. So it helps. It helps me do this work especially when we're taking votes on the board. If the board could be at the table, so I know where to look for your pants. Which is a little detail. Okay. So on the race and nationality. I know Adrian wants to speak to that.
Yeah, Leslie, I would like a sense of how much time. We prepared a comprehensive report. We prepared speakers. I know you don't want all of that. We want to figure out what's
the major. Well, let me just be clear. I think we want it. I don't think we have the time for it.
I understand.
Do want it, especially if you have something in writing. We could get it later in writing. But could you do this in 5 minutes?
No.
Could you give us a 5 minute?
No.
Well, here's the thing. It's 2:45, and I think we have to be out of the room 3, or, you know, leaving the room, because they have other things they need to clean up. And that means we have no time for discussion of it. That's the problem.
We will try to do it quicker. So, and we that was part of our project, was to have you discuss. So that will try to squeeze
the line. Sorry about the
discussion time for you all, too.
Carol, do you have a proposal on...
I may add that this is what happened the last time as well, so we want to at least make sure that we give you the information you need so that later you can have a more thorough discussion about the issue.
Leslie?
Yes, Teresa.
I don't know what other plans they have for the room. Perhaps Greg Gieselman can check on that. Perhaps we could have maybe a 15-minute report and a 10-minute discussion, and perhaps because we moved from the room so quickly last night, the hotel would be patient with us.
Would you like me to ask for 2 more hours?
No, you can ask for 2 more hours. That's fine. I know I'm going to have to go to the airport. I don't know. Almost everybody here has to go to the airport within, half an hour, 45 minutes. So Can we hear the report and then see how much time we have a discussion? See how long the report takes, and then we'll see how much time we have a discussion. Again, though, it would be, I personally, I think it may be true for other people too, it'd be great to have stuff in writing. Because even if we're hearing it now, we may not fully absorb it.
I will type up all of this and send it to the board secretary. If she'll distribute it to all of you, that would be.
Thank you. Again, folks, if people can hang in there with us, and we really need to hear what's being said. So it would help us if people could cut out the conversation.
And I'll put this up at 10 minutes to give you a feel for where you are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would, before you begin, I'm sorry, this is the end of two or three or four days for me of absolutely intense pressure. And I would like everybody in this room who's not listening to this report to please leave the room so that I can listen, because it's very hard to concentrate.
Thank you.
That means Patty and Andrea, please.
Okay, so this is, was intended to be, and is, a report from the Anti-Racism Working Group on the IPNB proposal on race and nationality, which you passed in June. I prepared this looking not only at the work that I personally have done, the work that our committee has done, but the work I knew that other people have done throughout the network. I've been very happily surprised to see that there is work done that I had no idea was done. And I think that the amount of discussion that's gone on about race, nationality, and other diversity issues, it's clear it's not only those of us individuals who are working on this that are very concerned. We have certainly found people eager and ready to help us in our work, manager, staff, lab members. We've had programming on the resolution and on this process in three of the five stations. Three of the labs have passed resolutions endorsing the resolution. One of the KPFT bylaws committee also endorsed the resolution. KPFA's lab has formed a diversity committee, which not only worked with us, but did things on from their own initiation. And now I hear from Deb that she's also going to be doing that at KPFT. The WBAI lab has formed a committee, which has not yet met, but they're in process. Your IPNB member, Dave Furtick, has joined us in conversations about how to do this. There's also been barriers. There's also been obstructions. Some of this is inertia. Some of it is conscious obstructionism. The biggest ones have been the concentration on the bylaws. It's very hard to get anything else done because we're all focused on that. The second thing is the lack of attention and work on the issue by staff and management. We started out in the KPFA area. A lot of us we didn't have to travel to go there, so we were there. That's been the strongest component. It's not a surprise that that's where the strongest work has taken place. KPFA was the first staff which has now held a dialogue meeting about race and nationality as part of this series that we're supposed to be doing at every station area. That happened this month. And I would like to say that that was a huge success. And the way we measured the success of that meeting, it put the issues of race and nationality in the context of power sharing. It made it clear to those in attendance that change can be made, and that the people who came to that meeting have the power to bring about these changes. That's what we're looking for. Of course, this is just the beginning, the proof of the pudding. We haven't eaten it yet. We want to emphasize that when we say promoting diversity, we mean to promote the presence of radical voices of color. We distinguish the principle of giving voice to the voiceless from what's commonly called diversity in the corporate America, you know, whether it's liberal or conservative. The question of nationality also has to be addressed. The resolution is one of race and nationality. Some of the work we've done, we've advocated for diversity language in the bylaws, and Monsieur is passing out a handout that we left out here and have circulated. We began drafting diversity criteria for general manager and program director hires, which would make those criteria include experience in diversity and race and nationality work in the criteria for hiring. We've initiated an open, unmoderated e-group list for discussion of diversity issues throughout the network. This is, for those of you listening, is thespring, T-H-E-S-P-R-I-N-G, at yahoogroups.com. Thespring at yahoogroups.com. That's open. Anyone can join in. There are efforts to compile statistics primarily concerning race and gender throughout the network. KPFAs are the most comprehensive. They include race and gender in many different categories and compilations. KPFT has a on-air compilation of race and gender, on-air programmers. WBAI has gender statistics on all staff, and the paid staff on race and gender. This was not done primarily by any of us, so we want to thank Ted Weiskel, Susan Klee, Valerie Van Isler, and Max Blanchet for their work in this area. We want to say to the staff at all the stations, go forth and compile. Compile and analyze. We've consulted with experts, people who study or do this kind of work in other organizations, and we're trying to get a feel for what problems come up, what solutions people have found. We've developed a non-confrontational power-sharing model for dialogue meetings within the station staff, which we're happy to share. We've developed or are beginning to develop a format for a four-hour national program, which we propose in December or January. Now, it's not news to anyone here that since June, Pacifica's racial conflicts have blazed up in four of the five station areas at least. It's caused problems for lab members, for staff, for listener activists. The lack of regular staff meetings in many of our station areas makes it particularly hard to address these things when they come up and to do the ongoing work we're trying to do. All of us have been hurt by racial dynamics. All of us are afraid. We all know these things are important. Racial tensions are tense. Even talking is tense. We don't know how to talk about these issues easily. As we said before, we're trying for a non-racist, non-classist, non-istist of any kind culture of democratic inclusion at Pacifica. But all these problems are very deeply ingrained and entrenched. The original proposal made discussion the heart of every effort. We're not ready to impose or even suggest major changes throughout the network in these areas. We think they're necessary, but we need the kind of work by dedicated people that resulted in the bylaws discussion that you've had. We need that level and depth. We need the creative ideas and solutions, and probably the most important, we need to develop the trust between the individuals who can go forth and the groups of individuals. To that end, we're going to ask you for some things. And here comes the handout from Mansoor. We would like you to set up the committee, which you already have agreed to do. We'd like you to do that today, a national committee from the board. We would like you to mandate constituting diversity committees in each area where there are not those already in operation, usually under the umbrella of the lab, if the lab is willing to take that on, and aided by the staff, management especially. We'd like you to direct the national staff to prioritize a national program. We're willing to produce this program and help work with anyone else who wants to help produce it. National and local program planning. Oh, this would be done by a group of current and past programmers who work with our committee, a national coordinator, and others. We'd like to echo Deb Shafto that to order the executive director to appoint in the short term a position in the national office to coordinate the development of race and nationality workshops, to coordinate efforts between local committees and to assist them in attaining their goals, and to begin the development and coordinate national and local produced programming on race and nationality issues. Fifth, we need finances. We need to hire professional trainers for in-house and on-air workshops. We need to give our committee and the other people doing this work the resources. We accomplished these things in the past 3 months on our own very, very thin wallets. We paid phone bills for conference calls, postage, gas, the money to come here and talk to you today. We're tired. Some of us are maxed out on our credit cards. We'd like to give Leslie $20 towards her credit card bill. We will use volunteers. We'll try to get donations to the services. We'll do all the things poor people do to make our money stretch like bubblegum. But if you want us to succeed, we need $300 or $400 a month for expenses, $500 a month for trainers in each station area, and travel money to bring one person from every station area to your next meeting. Now, we plan to have very, very brief reports from each area. I see a no from WBAI. KPFK.
I don't have a formal report prepared for you, and I think that this will be somewhat subjective, and from my own standpoint, just in terms of how I've seen things develop. There's no way in the time available that I can convey to you the kind of complexities that have arisen as we've discussed this in the Race and Diversity Committee of the KPFK lab. But suffice it to say that a lot of the orientation that we've taken at KPFK has been trying to figure out psychoculturally, if you will, how to approach this, how to approach what is in effect a sick culture and inject health into it without the thing that you're injecting becoming sick itself, to where you create a healthy process that expands and transforms rather than being sucked up into the unhealth. And that's a very difficult process, and we don't altogether know what to do with it. To begin with, the work at KPFK has been small, it's been limited, it's been, you know, a push here and a push there, and coming back, we haven't made great advances. But I think you know that I'm not critically thinking challenged, and I hope you'll take me seriously when I say that I have the most profound faith that if there's any station that is going to reflect the truth that's embodied in this proposal about race and nationality, it's going to be KPFK, and that's going to be led by Eva Georgia and by Lydia Brasson and by Dave Fertig and the rest of us who are involved. We're very serious about it. It's been very difficult in the context of crises with the staff and bylaws and college programming and other things to really focus on this. That said, there are some things that have occurred. We have forged a committee. We have an incipient committee. It's not really fully up and running. But there's some basic ideas that we've generated, including the need to get professionals involved to really show us how to do diversity training and diversity work. At a local level, I'm trying to develop a local program that maybe has national potential, maybe not, it doesn't matter, with an ethnic studies professor to kind of do an ethnic studies program on the air. I've spoken, for example, with an organizational psychologist, which I'll try to draw up a report for you, because this woman, a Chicano woman there in Los Angeles, was her expertise is in the field of the transformation of organizations and the flattening out of hierarchies and the kinds of resistances that come up to that. And I'll just keep this very short because I know we're all out of time and I know you're exhausted. I am too. The necessity of having people in power who are both able to create consensus and to draw lines if that consensus isn't followed, and to even go so far as to fire those who refuse to follow, is absolutely essential if this is going to work, because what we're up against is not any individual evil or any individual intent to be racist or any of that, because that doesn't exist in this community. Okay? It's, as Deb said, unconscious racism that we have to contend with, and that requires that we be able to move in with something sharp and draw some lines and make some difference and have leadership that is empowered to enforce policy as well as to encourage cooperation. I'll just say that is the most important conclusion we've come up with at KPFK, along with the need for diversity trainers at professional level.
And I'll just conclude, because I know you want to get some comments on. We wanted to give you some reports from a variety of different areas here in Houston, a variety of different voices. We want you to know that this is a very complicated, we all know it's very complicated, and it has been a very complicated process to go into stations and say, hey, we want to talk about race. Now, how do you feel about that? So to get people to confront their issues, to deal with these issues, has been complicated. In order for us to move forward, we wanted you to know that as happened at A, in which we found to be the most successful in terms of accepting us to come in and talk to different staffs and so forth, that this is the kind of process that we think should be something that we can do throughout the network. And we need you to help support us in being able to do that and to empower us to be able to get that. I think Ted had a few words he wanted to speak to.
Here, I'm Ted Weisgall from the local advisory board here in Houston. Here in Houston, we have a publication called the Houston Peace News that has a press run of 2,000, and that sort of indicates to you the scope of the dialogue that has begun here in Houston. Not much. But in the issue about a month ago, they published the entire report of the Anti-Racism Task Force. So the dialogue has begun. After 3 months, the Anti-Racism Committee proposal this past Wednesday night passed. A committee now must be formed. The heart.